Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be when you're listening to this. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Your Collective. Thank you again for joining me today. On today's show, I will be having my friend Candace Marshall, who has been a psychic and medium for over 20 years. And today, what she'll be sharing is her journey and, you know, how she realized that she had these gifts and how she evolved and how she's using it to help her clients find balance in mind, body, and spirit today. So without further ado, please join me in listening and talking to Candace Marshall. Good morning, Candace, and thank you so much for joining me today on Your Collective. I'm so pleased that you agreed to join us here today. For my listeners, this is Candace Marshall, who, well, I'll let her do her intro, but I've known her for about 7 years, and she has been one of the people I would say that has been in my corner as I have grown and evolved and journeyed and played with many different, ideas and modalities on this journey to like deepen the connection that I have in a spiritual way. So, Candace, why don't we start by you sharing a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got to where you are, and then we'll definitely dive in a little bit more about your particular journey and how you evolved.
Wonderful. First off, I would like to say, Charisse, that you inviting me here on the podcast is an honor. And as you well know, I value you very much. You have also, and I feel like all clients have lent a certain value to my life and my journey as well. I'm super happy to see you doing this podcast, and I'm very proud of you for putting yourself out there. And I believe that is part of your journey as well.
So terrifying as it is.
I love it. But with that being said, yeah. I have my roots, family roots go way back to, let's just go back to my parents' age. They were musicians. They were given a contract for Capitol Records in Los Angeles, and they turned it down to have a family. And I always felt like my whole life as a young girl growing up that, you know, there was one of us that would kind of pick that up and do something with it. And I feel like that one was me. I was the odd one in the family out of four of us. So it quickly became known to me, having spiritual gifts of my own, more in a psychic sense. I would call that clairsentience. So it's, we're in the solar plexus chakra where you feel things. And my sister and I, she's also very gifted, but she would never admit it. but we would feel things as young girls, and we would see things. And, in your young mind, that's very, hard to kind of process and to really understand, especially when you're growing up in an era where children are supposed to be silent and not heard. Mm-hmm. So when you come to your parents and say, hey, I have a feeling about this, and generally what it started out as was just premonitions, just a feeling that there was going to be something happening. It sometimes it was really, really good, and sometimes it was really, really serious, and sometimes a little scary. But my family grew to really understand that when trial and error by listening to me, they started to realize, oh my gosh, there's some merit to this. My younger sister, Holly, can definitely attest to this. There was one instance where we were going on a double date. I think I was only about 19, 20. And I just had this horrible feeling like we shouldn't go to the restaurant we were going to after this movie we were seeing. And at the time, it was in an area where these movie theaters were set up next to a really important cross section in Edmonton, like on Calgary Trail, going through the White Mud. And I said, can we just talk in the parking lot a little bit longer? Like, just, you know, I just have a feeling like we need to wait. About 10 minutes later, we saw an ambulance fly past, a fire truck fly past, police, you name it. And there was a fatality right at that spot where we would have had to be. Mm-hmm. And my sister's boyfriend and my boyfriend at the time looked at me like, what are you? I'm like, I can't explain it. My sister's like, just trust her when she gets these feelings, you know. And as I grew older, more and more things would start to really reveal themselves. It's at some points, some of them were very traumatic, and I would block them out for quite a period of time. I would say from about 21, 22 till about maybe 30, I blocked it out entirely, my gifts. And the reason being is that, you know, having children and them going to school, you know, not wanting them to be questioned about their mother's thought processes and stuff like that was very important to me. I didn't want my, you know, we at the time in the early 90s, mid 90s, that, you know, that was still questioned by children, like, oh, it's an imaginary friend. However, I was starting to notice with both my daughters. My daughter Ashley was born in 1997. My daughter Angelina was born in the year 2002. And both of them are extremely gifted clairvoyants and prophets. My middle child has prophecy. So as they were starting to talk to me, I was realizing I didn't have that support mm-hmm. as a young girl for a parent to say, you know, wow, tell me more. And it wasn't until actually 2008 when I lost my mother that my youngest actually saw her 2 weeks after she had passed. Mm-hmm. It was just after surgery, major surgery I'd had. And she saw my mother, and I had her describe what she was seeing. She was bang on, you know, she knew. She was only 6 years old. And I thought, this is something, you know. Yeah. So I started to read the first book that I really got in contact with to help me to understand what I was going through. I had read a lot of Sylvia Brown.
Yeah.
Really loved her sense of humor. Got to meet her in real life, too, at one point. But it was James Van Prague that mm-hmm. actually, I believe it was his book, Talking to Heaven, that really got me thinking, I can do this. You know, yeah. I can connect. So that would be on a mediumship level. Evidential spirit mediumship is what it's formally called with him. And, you know, you have to go through quite the process to become a medium of his and get certification. That didn't happen for me until at least my late 40s, and now I'm 52, and I've been a practicing medium. I also do energy readings. I do tarot. Less and less of that these days, because I'm noticing the spiritual healing certification that I have through James and life coaching and life empowerment and past life and quantum healing sessions are what people are really asking for these days. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met so many people through working both publicly and even privately through the community, and having, again, those experiences start to pop up, and getting the connection with those loved ones in spirit is what really is through my 6-year-old daughter is what really got me thinking I can do this. And then 2020 hit, and James Van Prague had an ad up on Facebook saying, you know, join a free call to see if you want to sign up for mediumship, spiritual healing courses, whatever, through his School of Mystical Arts, JVP School of Mystical Arts. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to do this. I mean, no, nobody can leave their house. I want to do this. I mean, this is the time to really, if we're all going to sit still, I want to be, you know, diving into this. And that's just what happened. James and I did actually, you know, there's probably thousands of people that were had their hands up in a Zoom call. And I was so lucky that he selected me the day that I got on this. And first of all, I was so excited to talk to him because his books really helped me heal from the loss of my mother in 2008. And so I thanked him for that. But then I said, okay, James, I have a question for you. What do you think I should be doing? Mediumship, psychic work? What is it? He looked at me and he's given everyone else, but at this point, an answer as to what, where he thinks they'll do best. He says, you know, Candace, I have a gut feeling that you can do all of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's a big bone to chew off of. I said, well, he goes, where do you feel you need to start? I said, mediumship. And I was scared because I said, James, I don't know. Like, I'm worried about what I'm going to see. Like, I don't know what people clairvoyantly see. I said, I know as a young girl, I did see things and I kind of blocked that out. And he assured me that his methods would be very safe. He's a Virgo, so he's a very thorough person. You know, he crosses his T's, dots his I's. So his practice is very ethical. And I felt like if I'm going to learn from someone how to do this, it had to be someone who's a pioneer in this industry, who's done it not just on television, but with celebrities, both publicly and in private.
Yeah.
He was the co-producer of the TV show Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt. Mm-hmm. And I loved that show. And I felt like the experiences she was having were a lot of what I was having. And he even taught her mediumship as well. So
just so we can clarify, what is the difference between mediumship and being a psychic? Because I'll be honest, I thought they were the same. Yes. I mean, I know that there's a difference, but I think that there's a fine line between them.
It's so funny you mention that because every time somebody says that to James, I can feel a little brain cell is bursting in his head. The difference actually is this. Every single one of us born on this planet have all the chakras, and the solar plexus chakra is the psychic center of who we are. And that's when people say, you know, like it's located in the upper abdominal, the color associated with it is yellow. And that's when you hear people say, listen to your gut. What does mm-hmm. your gut tell you? Mm-hmm. That's what they're talking about. Every single person on this planet is programmed with psychic ability. Everyone. Because we are all connected.
You're jumping ahead.
but not everybody can be a medium.
Okay.
Clairvoyancy. And mediumship is actually having all the clairs. There's clairsentience, clairaudience, clairvoyance, claircognizance, and clairaugustance, which is smell. You can smell perfume.
Oh, never heard of that one.
Whatever. Yeah, it's really cool.
So everybody has the clairs, and I've definitely had conversations with friends where I've said everybody has those gifts. Everyone. The difference between you and somebody, well, not you, but we'll just say somebody who's using their gifts and somebody who is not, is that it actually takes work to develop them. They're not like the physical senses where you have to actually, and let's talk a little bit about that. Actually, before we talk about the clairs and developing them, I want to go back to not everybody can be a medium. Can you dive in more to what you mean by that?
Okay. It's not about ego. First of all, I want to mention that because when I say that phrase, it's not like, haha, I'm a medium and you're not. It's definitely not that. It's just, you know, we're going to dive into the clairs and we'll talk about those momentarily, like you said, and that really kind of goes hand in hand with it. But when you're born with a, you know, people will call it a sixth sense that, you know, very strongly in your feelings, like the sentience, like that feeling, I feel like there's something around, me. I don't know who or what it is, but I want to know. And it's that thought process of, I want to explore this. I want to go outside of my auric field, myself, and see what's filling the room with me. It's really interesting how that gets developed.
So is that like feeling into the energy around you? So for example, you know, people will say when you feel a presence, you might feel cool, like coolness around you. You might feel heat around you. That's how you know you're feeling, we'll say an entity or something, a different energy that's outside of yourself, not yours, and not even necessarily a physical one, but something that is in the non-seeing world. That's what you're talking about, correct?
Yes. You know, a lot of it, I mean, there's some books that they wrote back in the 80s. Can't remember the authors, but they wrote ghost stories of Alberta, ghost stories of BC, all the different provinces. And there was quite a few entries from people that I even knew growing up. Some of the things that they had mentioned and that I had noticed when my youngest daughter was telling me she was seeing certain people, one of them was my grandfather. So a sure way to know that there is something present, there's a couple of things. One, you'll notice temperature change in a room. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're in midsummer and it's 30 degrees Celsius and you're melting. You have air conditioner on all over the house. But you step in one room in the house and it is freezing cold.
Yeah.
Okay. We know then, as you step through the doorway and step back out, step in, you'll just get a sense that there's, you know, something present there, that it's different than the rest of the energy that's in the rest of the house.
Yeah.
Some of the other cues that I would say for people to really kind of watch for, if they are indeed gifted with this, is, you know, I said clairaudience, and that's the smell. You know, I just moved a few months back, but before moving, I had lived in an apartment building and I kept complaining to the managers saying, I keep smelling smoke in my bathroom. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's coming from the people downstairs or something. Can you have it checked out? They assured me that no one was smoking on my floor, below me, near me, around me. Then I realized there's a photo of my mom in the bathroom of her looking in a mirror on her wedding day. And I went, and she was a heavy smoker.
Wow.
Very heavy smoker.
Yeah.
And I realized at the times that I was smelling this, I was feeling a certain level of maybe uncertainty in life, uncertain things, or a little bit stressed. And I believe that was her way of saying, you know, just relax. I'm here. I'm with you. I do believe that was her. And that was her way of showing me, like, you know, because that was one way to get my attention. I am not a smoker, but smelling that just like, oh, what's going on? You know? So there's those kinds of things. And then we go to, you know, I do want to touch a little bit on some of these YouTubers that will go into the haunted places and, you know, want to resurrect certain things. They go into these places, but they don't realize that the soul, the spirit of the person that's either, you know, if you will, haunting the place that they're in or is present there, may not in fact be demonic or any of what they're feeling. It could be just that they're really scared. They're earthbound, meaning they have not completely crossed over into their heavenly realm, and that they are stuck and they're scared. And you're a person with camera equipment that they've never seen in their lifetime, could be hundreds of years back. And they're, you know, like they want to spook you out of there because they don't want you there. Mm-hmm. There's a show. It's not a show. It's a movie by Nicole Kidman's, and it's called The Others. I encourage everybody who's listening to this to watch that movie, and you'll understand from the spirit's perspective of how scary it is for them. Mm-hmm. In fact, sometimes they're more afraid of us than we are of them because they're just like, whoa, who are you?
So you know, in that sense, and sorry, like, And maybe, so in that sense, I mean, we're never really going to know what it's like until we actually leave this physical body. Mm-hmm. But is it like you're not crossing over. So you're no longer alive. You're in spirit realm. And you're like, you know, in The Sixth Sense, when Bruce Willis doesn't actually know he's dead. Mm-hmm. So is that what you're saying? Like some souls exactly. are just kind of like stuck because they're like, they weren't, I don't want to say they weren't expecting to die, but they're confused because it's like, where am I? What is going on? Like, I'm just living my life and doing my thing. And, right. and they're confused. Grossly confused by what's going on. Is that what you're likening it to?
Exactly. And, you know, just to kind of give your audience some clarification on this for their loved ones who have passed, maybe in a very tragic way, you know, there's accidents, there's murders, there's all kinds of sudden deaths. Sometimes they come in groups like a plane crash. We look at, you know, 9/11, and that's a whole bunch of souls together, soul groups. And sometimes the shock is so sudden for them that they don't understand why they're talking to people they would normally talk to and they're not responding to them. I actually did a past life regression where I had visited a previous life in France that I had. And I remember visually seeing, I felt like I was floating in the corner of this beautiful cottage that we had and seeing my parents weeping about my passing. I was only 12, passed from cholera. And I didn't understand until my girlfriend, who's very well coached in doing past life regressions and clearing on that, she taught me how to do that. She said, I said, why was I floating? I felt like I was a witch or something, like it was a dream or something. She goes, no, no, no. She said, you were stuck. You were earthbound. You were scared to cross over. There's many reasons also, not just the trauma of the passing, why a person won't fully cross over yet. Sometimes is that they could be very, very religious. And so they're reading parts of the Bible that are literally saying, if you did bad things, you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we were taught in evidential spirit mediumship with James is that, and I know this because I've been told this by the spiritual loved ones when they come through, is that the idea of heaven and hell is the conditions of your mind at the time of your passing. Okay. Mm. So if you have, you know, you've murdered someone or you've done really terrible things to people in your life, and then maybe had a very traumatic upbringing where you had very religious parents, you may be terrified to cross over because you're thinking, I'm going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
You know, when we do the mediumship, when I work with a client, it's very important for us to let them know that, you know, when the loved one's coming through, they could be earthbound and wanting to communicate, or they could be already on the other side. When they are earthbound, you know, there's always a process that I do that's very safe. We open up the chakras, we do a prayer of protection, we go through the mediumship session, we connect them to the loved one, they pass on the message, and we close ethically by closing down the chakras and doing a prayer of protection after that. And so when that happens, you know, I often find I get all the questions, you know, why has my loved one not crossed over? And I actually, in fact, got a phone call a couple of days after I did a session with a girlfriend of mine. Her husband had died by suicide. And she said, he is just like opening doors and turning electrical things on and cupboards are left open. And she said, he's driving me and Maggie crazy. And I said to her, you know, she said, can you come do a clearing in my house? I said, hon, I'm not that kind of medium. I said, but I will say this, because I was picking up his energy. I said, may I ask you if he was really religious, like if he had a really religious upbringing? She said, yeah, that's freaking me out. Why are you saying that? I said, because he's scared. He knows that, you know, I took my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that, you know, that is a precious gift, which is life. And in the Bible, you know, there are certain passages that comment and speak to that, which could lead to fear in a person who's crossed over in that way. I said, all you need to tell him is to ask for a loved one that passed before him, and they will bring him to where he needs to be. Okay. So for in that instance, he could probably have asked for a grandparent, a great grandparent, or an aunt that he knew, or an uncle, whomever, even a friend, whoever it is. And in that case, they will come and they will lead them to where they need to be. And usually when it's a traumatic passing, they will end up in what looks like an open, out in the open nature healing center. It's like all these little beds, like little cocoons with loved ones and family members already there in spirit, visiting them and starting to condition them to the realms of heaven or their heaven, if you will. And that slowly gets that person out of that fear mindset. And they're like, oh, okay. I'm in a good place here. This is a good thing. And then they fully cross over at that point. So, you know, sometimes for some people, they've been great their whole life. You know, they've saved kittens out of trees and they are a firefighter or whatever, you know, a paramedic. And, you know, when it's their time, it's just like, boom, they're right there with their family. But I will say you're met by all your animals, all the animals and pets that you've had in your previous lifetimes and current lifetime that passed before you. You're greeted by them first because they are the most unconditional loving form. So if you're seeing loved ones first, that may be the same case, right? Like you were really unconditionally loved. And not everybody has that kind of upbringing. You know, sometimes you're brought up in a home where that love does not exist. So yeah, earthbound, that's the difference between earthbound and crossing over.
Thank you for that clarity. I wanted to circle back because this is often come up in conversations. So with some of my people, not all of my people, but with some of my people, my children, for example, I'm very, very open, wide open in discussion and the journey, what I'm learning, so on and
so
forth.
That's so good, Charisse.
I think it is beautiful because it really gives them, I think, the freedom, the comfort to be very vulnerable. But I did have an experience this year. I've had a few experiences with people where we get into these discussions. And I was really doing a lot of reading on the clairs and developing them and so on and so forth. And I was having this friend, this conversation with a friend, and she's Christian. And I remember the conversation like it was just yesterday. I was sitting there.
I know what you're going to say already.
And she was like, she was making a comment about psychics and mediums who were not, like, whose gifts were not from source. And immediately I remember feeling like defensive about it. And I didn't say anything. And I'm like, okay, help me understand. What do you mean? And she was talking, first of all, she was talking about her own gifts. And I said, that's clairvoyant. And she said, okay, the gift of sight. And I said, yes, I understand, but it's broadly called clairvoyance. And she's like, I know that my gift comes from God. And she's like, but their gifts, I don't know where they come from. And I said, okay, well, we all have gifts, every single one of us. It's whether or not you are A, interested in doing the work to actually develop them, and B, because it is work. It means you, because it's so subtle. It's not, I mean, maybe for some people it's like full, and I imagine that you could get to the point where it's like full movies or full conversations or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But when you're just starting out, it is, it's so, so subtle that you really have to like, you have to really like tune out the outside world in a lot of ways. Yes. But anyways, so I actually said to her in the moment, I'm like, I've talked to tons of readers and I know the ones that I vibe with and I know the ones who I don't vibe with. I can always, you know, you might be giving me your version of the truth of what you are sensing at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, and it doesn't matter if I liked the reader or not, almost every single one of them has always been rooted in love, light, the divine, protection, talking about God or source, the divine, so on and so forth. And that's not to say that there aren't people out there who are maybe using their gifts in a nefarious way, but my understanding has always been that, like, your gifts are given to you, or you are allowed to develop them for the purpose of helping others, period. And so what I wanted you to talk about, I think sometimes there's this misconception of division, right? Religious gifts, or those that are coming direct from God, and I'm using that word very intentionally, versus the idea that if you want to call the source that you believe in anything other than God, then it's maybe something that's unknown, not good, so on and so forth. And I recently had this experience with my son. I was using angel oracle cards. I don't think they were angel oracle cards. They were chakra cards. And as soon as I pulled them out, he like flew across the living room. He ran away. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? He's like, that's so terrible. I'm like, but you know me, I'm your mother. Like, I'm not you. Yeah. Like, this is something, like, you know, what I'm rooted in, you know, where I cut, like, I don't mm-hmm. give you the vibe of being low vibrational or low frequency. So can you maybe touch on that a little bit to help maybe those folks who might be listening who have struggled with this ideology? Because mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who grow up in a very strict or conventional religious faith, that this is a real struggle to how do you explore the other mm-hmm. modalities in a spiritual walk.
Okay. I love this question because I've had much experience with answering it. First of all, I want to say, to me, I embrace all religion. With that being said, I was raised as a Catholic. I have read not the entire Bible, but parts of the Bible. And one of the parts that really stick out to me the most is the part that says, "Thou shalt not judge your neighbor, lest you be judged." And I think about that, and I would go to church, and I remember there's a certain point in the service where we shake hands and say, "Peace be with you." But I would look at the faces of people and not see genuine, unconditional love, or, you know, camaraderie, if you will. It was like, ew, you know, I don't want to touch your hand. And just these faces people would make, and I'm like, this is a house of worship. Like, this, what are we here for if we're not going to be congenial, mm-hmm. if we're not going to actually follow what the Bible is telling us? So when I step out of that zone, which I did, I stopped going to church. I believe that my spirituality exists within me wholly and completely. It doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. But it also doesn't mean that I don't believe in other people's faith either. What we do as mediums, and to help people understand the difference between an actual encounter that you're having where you feel you have a gift from God, or that it might be coming from a different source, is it's really simple. It's called free will. Okay. We were gifted with that by God. We can choose to, you know, one of the things that I do know that's in the Bible is that thou shalt not worship false idols. So if you have a statue of, say, let's, you know, even of Mary, of Jesus, or any of the gods or goddesses in your home, I mean, that's your personal preference if you want that. But to worship that is in very Christian, in Christianity, is like, you know, you're not truly worshiping the source. Mm-hmm. And so what does that mean? It means the source is actually within us. It's not in a statue. It's not in even a crystal, even though I work with crystal energy to help heal clients. It's not my only reliable resource. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I'm connecting with spirit, again, we go back to the ethics of it. I was trained by a teacher who's been doing this for many years. He's been on television, you name it. He knows this like old hat. But one of the things I really loved about his teachings was the fact that we had free will. We could choose to do this or choose not to do this, choose what we believe, choose not what we believe. So he got me into mediumship development circles. And that's where I started to learn about other people's gifts and how they worked with their clairs. And we would develop together. We'd read for each other and that sort of thing. When it came time for me to teach that, because I went to the mediumship level 3 and I was teaching with 2 other ladies. First of all, there's always going to be differences of opinion. Encouragement is something that is really promoted in that industry in terms of mediumship development circles. But I felt like it wasn't. To me, it felt like it was about ego in that group. And that's not to say that these people were bad people or anything. It just felt like it was about competition for, you know, who's the better medium, that kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm out. Yeah. This is not what it is for me. It feels not right. So I went off and I said, I'm going to start my own mediumship development circles, which I do offer on my website. So when you go to Candace Ann with an E, MarshallOfficial.com, and that's Candice, not Ace, you will see and you scroll down that I do mediumship development circles that people can sign up for. The way that I start off with the attendees, the mediums, is working on developing the clairs. We start with clairsentience, the simplest, I would say, the easiest of all of them. We all have the gut feeling. That's your psychic self. But we work to the point where we get claircognizance, where you are literally blending with the spirit. Now, how do you know if it's something negative and it's coming from something nefarious, mm-hmm. as opposed to something that is, you know, this is an actual heavenly being?
Yeah.
You know it when a lot of the times I find it's when I drop into the psychic. So you'll be, at first you might be connected to this being and getting messages, and you're asking, and just to be clear, the way I do mediumship is we don't fish for information from the clients. You actually get a yes, no, maybe, or I don't know. And that's all we need as an answer. But when I'm starting to feel like I'm giving them advice or and it's coming from me and not that spirit person, that's when I'm like, I don't feel like this is a true connection. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to scare them and say, look, you know, I'm feeling like this might be a little bit of the devil's work here. Like, I don't think we should be going any further. I just say I've lost the connection, or, you know, maybe we should try with someone else, reconnect, or maybe do it another day. A lot of the times I get physical mediumship where it could be the day before or the day of a session, and I will feel the physical pain of the person passing. I'll feel like, oh my gosh, am I having a heart attack? And I stop. I'm like, no, you're not. This is coming from something else. I just know it's not me, or stomach pain or headache pain, whatever it is that I'm feeling. And then all of a sudden I get a client and they want mediumship, or they want connection with their loved one. We do the prayer protection. We open up our chakras and boom, that person comes right in. And that's the first thing I tell them. I knew it was you. I knew this was going to be for you today because I felt it since yesterday. And I'll tell them the exact pain. And then when I start to address that, the loved one will start to show us these beautiful memories, including the time of their passing, people surrounding them by their bed, things like that. Things become extremely clear in a very healthy way. The messages are very loving.
Yeah.
Mediumship should never be scary. It should never be, you know, terrifying the sitter. That's what we call the client. the client that we're working for actually is spirit, not the person who's hired me to connect with their loved one. So when I'm doing this, it's very important for me to source that out. How am I feeling about this? And if I feel like it's, you know, not coming from a true love source, you'll know right away that there's messages. I mean, even James has experienced very angry loved ones with the one that they're connecting with, to the point where he's had to literally encompass himself and the entire room of people that he's talking to in golden light, in like a golden energy, to really kind of block out that really negative energy from that person. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that they're the devil. It's just that there may also be loved ones that are still angry with you and they haven't got the chip off their shoulder. More often than not, those are people that haven't crossed over yet. Mm-hmm. But if we're getting into, like, you know, they're starting to say things that are just really not conducive to who they were, that's when we know we have something other than God with us, God source. And so I trust that. That's what I go on personally. I've talked to other mediums and that's their experience as well. So yes, your friend in many ways is absolutely correct. There's a lot of ego that exists in these development communities, not just with mediumship, but mm-hmm. even with psychic ability, tarot, spiritual healing, past life clearing, quantum clearing. All of these areas have spiritual people, and I'm using air quotes because these are people that say they can do these things, but they really didn't go through the entire training and spend the time and devotion to developing that gift on a daily basis. And that's, you'll know that right away when you're working with that person. You're like, you feel like you want to reject that, what they're giving you.
Yeah.
I've had that experience a few times myself where I'm like, okay, no, this person is not, they're coming from ego. They're not coming from a place of love. They're not coming from a place of unconditional love.
And thank you for saying that, because, you know, it's been my experience as well. As like, part of this is trusting yourself, right? So before, you know, if you've never sat with a reader, this is for the audience, and you would like to sit with a reader, you know, I would always start with, a prayer, you know, mm-hmm. and setting a positive intention. And if you happen mm-hmm. to, you know, connect with a reader who just the vibe, I think in all my years, I've only had one reader who was like, I'm not connected. Like, she was able to tell me, she's like, I don't know why I'm just not connecting with you well. I'm going to suggest that you talk to somebody else. And I was like,
cool. That was responsible of her.
I agree. I completely agree. Yeah. I thought that was really,
but there are some that will continue on.
Yeah. And for me in those scenarios, it's just like, I trust my gut on that. And I'm just like, you know, especially if they're referred from somebody else and this person's like, mm-hmm. oh, they were really great and da 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 da. Like, I know the energy that I like from a reader. So for me now, I'm just like, I've got my people. I'm just gonna stick with my people. Because at the end of the day, it's like, at any time I have a reading, and when I say that, anytime I have a reading I don't like, it's not because of what the reader is saying. It's correct. The energy that they are bringing, because there is a way that you can explain things to people that they understand what you're saying without it being so shrouded in negativity and just low vibrations, right? So thank you.
I can add to that. I've literally seen mediums that I've worked in a facility with, where they've come to me after a client session, and I never discussed my clients, what we've gone through, what we've experienced, what we've explored, whether it's tarot, spiritual healing, mediumship. I've never done that with anyone else, but I've had people come up to me in this place and say, oh, they'll be back, like kind of like with a little bit of a snicker. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean they'll be back? Well, you know, I gave them enough so that they're curious enough that they'll want to come back for another reading or another session or this and that. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm just, you know, I feel that that place where I worked at has become a lot more clear because those certain individuals have left. But they were definitely not working with Love Source. They were doing it for the money. And, you know, that's the first thing that James says when he does the free call, when you want to find out more about these courses, he'll say, if you're going to do this for money, you're not in the right place. Mm-hmm. You need to go somewhere else.
Yep.
If you're doing it because you truly love people and truly want to see them healed and have a healthier, happier, holier, whatever, joyful life. He always talks about joy. He's such a funny guy. I love him. And, you know, if you want to do that, then you're in the right place because if you're doing the right thing, money's going to be there anyways.
Exactly.
It'll always 100%. Be there. It'll always show up.
Yeah.
It's a matter of trust. And I feel that a lot of people go into these kinds of industries, they're so scared that they're not going to get clients right off the bat that they don't trust themselves. And then that imposter syndrome kind of comes in and then they start to really get off their game.
Yeah.
It can happen. It can happen. And some of them are just all for the money, period.
It is. And thanks for touching on that. Who's guiding this interview?
You and me were, it's almost like these fun chats, right? I can't wait to hear on my podcast.
I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's also the idea of money. And it's a great place to bring that up because there's, again, another conflicting idea out there.
Yes.
That if you are of love, of light, of the divine source, so on and so forth, that you shouldn't be charging. And
okay. I want to say something about that.
You shouldn't be charging.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it there and go ahead.
So I asked James about that. I thought if I'm going to ask, you know, someone, it's going to be the person who's been doing this for quite a few years. I also asked my tarot teacher, who is an amazing reader. She's out of Florida now. Her name is Jess. She's the one who really I went in depth with the tarot with in 2014-15. She's just incredibly gifted reader. And she's an astrologer as well. So she got me into the reading birth charts as well. So I do that as a service. Anyways, going to that. I was set. Like I said, you know, how do we answer someone who says you shouldn't be charging me because it's your gift? Well, James said it simply is as simple as this. Do you need a good bed to sleep on at night? And I'm looking at him kind of, okay, well, that's a weird question, but yes, I mean, I have to be comfortable. Yeah. Do you need to be fed every day? Yes, I do. Do you need to be at peace with yourself when you're working with a client? Mm-hmm. He says, how can you do that if you don't have all those resources, mm-hmm. like the internet, your phone bill, your food that replenishes you, your sleep that replenishes you, gets you really connected to spirit in a way where you're healed, you're feeling good. And that session ends up being like, you know, we go gangbusters.
Like on fire.
So yes, I'm not charging you for my gift. I'm charging you for my time.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the difference. It's the time, you know, like, I mean, I still have to pay my bills. And if I don't pay my bills, I can't do a phone reading with a client.
Well, not only that, if you're worried about it, then you're not actually able to focus on your client, right? Because
that
you've got real life. Sorry, I shouldn't say real life. Physical life, external circumstances that are absolutely a part of the journey, right? So,
yeah.
And further to that, you know, my thought, and this could maybe also be conflicting with some other ideas out there, but my thought is that the divine wants us to have abundance, wants us to have joy, wants us to. And so it's so about intention. And I talk about this a little bit in a podcast around money. And the example that I used is very much in line with what you were talking about. Is I talked about my experience as a mortgage broker. Mm-hmm. And anytime my intention with the client was genuinely coming from, I want to help you and empower you, it just flowed. It was a beautiful experience. I didn't have to work for it. It just would come to me, the right clients. I would even ask for that. Please send me clients who are easy to work with. And what I mean when I say easy, I don't mean that there aren't challenges. I just mean that they'll work with me in navigating the challenges. Anytime my intention was chasing money and automatically moving into that scarcity mindset, it was a struggle. It was a struggle for me to want to work on the file. 100%.
Again, all of us are psychic.
Yeah.
Not everybody's meaning, but with that psychic feeling, I think this woman just wants it for the money. You know, they'll feel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're right. Absolutely.
So I think it's really important, regardless of whether you're, you know, working in the healing arts or not, that mm-hmm. when we talk about money, that the intention is really, that you're really aligned with what that intention is. And somebody had said something to me, I think a few months ago, and it caught me off guard. They were like, oh, you really like abundance. And I was like, I was in resistance. I remember, because I was like, oh, no. Because, and so it told me that I had a limiting belief mm-hmm. about money and what it actually says about me. And I said, I would like to attract abundance into my life because I want all those things that you just talked about, right? Being, having a good night's sleep, not worrying about bills, good food, da 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 da. And also, more importantly, because I know how generous I am, I want to bless everybody in my experience, right? Yeah. And she's like, and don't you think that takes a lot of resources? And I was, I was like, yes. And it was what was able to help me shift from a small mind and like, I just want this much to, I want all of it. Not I want, I am receiving all of it because I have a lot of people in my life that I want to bless in their experience with me. So mm-hmm. it's, money's a real, it's not a tricky one, but I don't think that folks really dissect the psychology of money and what the underlying core beliefs and values are around money. So thank you for touching on that.
It's you know, it's a hit or miss. Some people, you will know that's how they're programmed. There's actually some people out there that are doing courses about abundance and having an abundance mindset, and that you're not broken, that you can empower yourself. I'm all about that. But when I started to look into those kinds of programs, I'm feeling this is not aligning with me because I feel like they're pushing this agenda. I know I've taught social media web marketing. I've designed my own website. I'm a graphic designer by trade, journalist. That's my background in histories and podcasting, also working with celebrities, helping develop their websites, especially in the music industry. I worked with Ken Kelly, daughters Kobe Kelly. He worked with Fleetwood Mac on their Rumors album, and he said, I need you to help me with my website. And it was always about, you know, putting that love and energy into it. It was never about like, oh, this guy's famous, I can make a quick buck off of him. And I still stand by that when it comes to what I'm doing right now. I mean, I think that you could even attest to the fact that if I feel that someone is like, you know, going to really need a lot of help for a little while mm-hmm. and that there'll be more sessions that I'm going to have with them, I'm going to give them a better deal money-wise so that they're not, you know, bleeding money when they're trying to heal.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just a courtesy gesture. I know that I have not been, there have been people who have blessed me that, you know, I can never thank them enough for. And so the courtesy is extended back, you know, in that way. So, but there's not a lot of people out there like that. It's like, nope, my rates are $300 an hour and that's it. And it's like, well, no, I can bend the rules. I own my own company.
Absolutely. But you know, the scarcity mindset, and this is one that is really tricky. And I think that it's for me, in my experience, and the people that I talk to, I'm such a huge believer in verbiage. And it's even something simple like, I don't have any money, or there isn't any money, or I need that money. And the energy that is around that entire statement. And I think that if you start to really look at how we treat it and how we talk about it. So one thing that I'll often say is my resources are currently allocated. I don't say that I don't have money. I say that my resources are currently allocated, or money is coming. Mm-hmm. It's just not in my awareness, or there's money all around me. I just might not see it at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've learned, or that I'm becoming far more aware of, is what a ridiculously powerful manifester I am. I was going on a trip with somebody in the last year, and she called me up and she was feeling pressed for money. And I think she was feeling like she didn't want to go. And I was like, don't worry, I got you. I said, listen, the ticket's already paid for. This is, accommodations are covered. This is covered. That's covered. Like I said, I got you. Don't even worry about it. Okay. The truth is that I didn't know how I got her. It was not part of the plan, but I was just like, I'm not worried about it. And I genuinely wasn't worried about it. I'm like, we're going to go have a good time, and I'm not going to worry about this money. It will work out somehow. And in that moment, because I surrendered, and I use the word surrender because people struggle with what that means. Genuinely did not worry about it. I went to my mom's house and my mom hands me an envelope of cash. I didn't ask for it. I didn't say, oh, so we're going on this trip. And there was none of that. I just walked into my parents' house. Yeah. They give me this envelope. And I was just was just like, thank you, angels, ancestors, and guides. Thank you. Like, yes. And I mean, this happened in a day. So that's what I mean when I say
how quick it can happen.
It absolutely can. So when we shift and we really genuinely, and that had happened frequently throughout my career as a mortgage broker, as soon as I saw that I was putting a lot of worry into money where I didn't need to. The divine always made sure that there was a transaction that would always came in. So the key is, because people were like, well, why doesn't it feel like enough? Because you're not asking for more. You're limiting yourself. You're saying, I only need $5,000 or whatever your number is. Well, you're going to get $5,000 then. If you say, so now when I look at, I don't even actually put dollar signs necessarily. Sometimes I put dollar signs, but really what I do is I write down, because there's also power in the pen.
And yes, that's right.
So I will write down all the things that I want to do. And then I'll put a big number around it. I'll even put a time frame on it. And
you learned well.
I'm an excellent
student.
And, you know, it's
proud of you.
I think I did that at the beginning of this year for a car. And I didn't put any thought into how, because it rarely shows up the way you think it's going to. When I put it on my vision board, I was like, I'm going to buy this car and I'm going to buy the, and I did get a car, but it didn't even come to me the way that I thought it would. So that's why part of the surrender is give up what the journey looks like to getting there, right? I always say to people around me, it's a delicate balance between being very clear on what you want, but at the same time, surrendering some of the details to it. Yeah. Exactly. So, which is tricky. Tricky.
There's a famous phrase that Jess, my tarot teacher, says, because she works with the energy of the moon cycles, with the new moon being the idea of planting the seed of what you want, where you write in your journal exactly what you want. Be as specific as you can. I want a white car. I want it to be a Buick Rendezvous. I want it to be a 2022 version. I don't need the brand new, but like I want it by March 2025. You know, you write those things down and then you tear that paper out. You fold it towards you because that's bringing that wish towards you. And then you plant it in soil. That's another little tip I'm just giving your listeners. Even if you're in a country where soil is not accessible in winter, you get a little jar with potting soil and you just put it in there. And then when you're working with the full moon, which is about release and expansion, that's when you start to see some of those intentions starting to, at the new moon starting to come in, but you still may have some things that you need to release, which is, like you said, limiting beliefs. It could be someone else's energy. There's so many ways that I've taught clients how to do that in spiritual healing sessions. By first identifying which of their chakras are blocked, we do a consultation. And then we go to the chakra, we work on the chakra and how to unblock it. A lot of the times we'll go into past life where we have to clear in that area. And then that person is able to kind of move, they're absolutely able to move on because that clearing has happened. But when those limiting beliefs are there, and I myself have also had them, I'm not going to say, yeah, I'm perfect. I've never felt scared about money. But I will say this, I remember when, and this is before I even started doing what I did, even in the entertainment industries, was I became a single mom very quickly. I was married 5 years and all of a sudden, boom, things were falling apart. Had to move into a small little duplex with my kids. And I was thinking about Christmas coming and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I only have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. And I'm thinking, I can't imagine nothing under the tree for them. Growing up, my father would always work their butts off to make sure there was something there.
Yeah.
So I just said, Creator, God, if you're hearing me, help me out. I'm just going to put my faith in you and I'm just going to leave it at that. It was December 23rd when I went and checked my mail. I had a particularly long day at work. I was very tired. I got this envelope. There's no return address. It was just written my name on there and inside was a check for $500.
Nice.
And I thought, so I phoned my parents right away. I'm like, which one of you did this? I know you guys must have known I was worried about Christmas. My parents are like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It happened a second year in a row, the next Christmas. And the Christmas after that, it stopped. And I realized that person was my godmother.
Mm.
And that she didn't truly know. She never had children of her own. She mm-hmm. didn't know any of the worries associated of being a single parent and raising two children. But she was compassionate enough to know that that was something that was important to me for my kids. Even though, it's a material thing, it was important to me at the time. And so I truly feel like she was led by her guides, Creator, her guides, and said, listen, your godchild needs this help. And she did it 2 years in a row. And the third year was the year she passed away.
Mm.
And I went, I caught her. I know it's you. I've had communication with her since her passing and there's confirmation there. So, it can come from family. It could come from, I've seen it come from the most strangest of places and things. And sometimes it's not even money. It's just that person that's willing to listen to you 5 minutes and you need help and they just appear. If you put your faith enough in the idea that unconditional love truly does exist within all of us, you will always receive and you will always have abundance. Mm-hmm. There's never going to be a lack. And further to that, it's been said to me by loved ones who have crossed over, as well as it's been said in the Bible, if we're going to go into the religious aspect of things, that God created us, created this existence, this realm, if you will, because Earth is one of many realms, to have abundance. It's like it's there for the taking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying you go to the, you know, start raiding and looting and pillaging. I'm just saying, you know, if you're really looking for what you want, you can find it, but you may not find it in the place you always expect. May not be consumerism that we're looking at in future timelines. What I'm seeing is going back to homesteading, people creating natural goods and natural medicines and natural ways of healing, going back to Reiki. You know, I started that first level of it with the original teacher. He's 82 right now. He's coming next June to Edmonton, and he from Japan, and he is the fourth generation to learn from the person who created Reiki mm-hmm. in the first place.
Yeah.
And he said, there's many, you know, Western teachers that have, you know, taught Reiki, but it's not the way it originally was meant to be taught.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I was led to the right person teaching me even that gift.
Yeah.
When I realized that this, and I'm looking at my certification on the wall right now, and I'm like, yeah, I'm very lucky that I was in the right place at the right time with the right people to guide me to say, hey, do you want to join this course? Thinking, okay, well, it's like every other course, you know, like why not? Let's just add it to it, to the pile. But this is not just like any other thing. It's someone who's mastered his entire life around the idea of Reiki and healing through light, mm-hmm. through the hands. And it's amazing how you get led to these people when you're not really looking.
Well, I think that, you know, as a, you know, piggybacking on that idea, this is really part of awareness mm-hmm. and being open to what comes to you, right? And you really have to be, and it's funny, the more aware I become, the more I see. So I've definitely said before, like spirit is talking to every single one of us every single day in every single moment. It is, are you listening? And listening doesn't necessarily mean with your hearing ears. It means, are you open to receiving the messages, the communication that's coming to you? And there's so many ways that spirit talks to us. And every time it happens, I literally laugh out loud and I say, thank you. I think people think that I must be losing my, actually, I'm not going to make judgments about what people think about me. I think that I'm vocal enough about this walk that people just accept that this is who I am. But I wanted to talk a little bit about gratitude. Because mm-hmm. when you're stuck in a bit of a scare, and I'm not even just talking about scarcity mindset in terms of money, but like just in general, like yeah. that you will receive the things that you ask for. Because, you know, sometimes the idea that people have with faith, religion, spirituality is that you're talking to the God of your understanding, you're asking, and that they're not listening, and that your prayers are not being answered. And so one idea that I've often heard, and I genuinely believe, is that gratitude is love. Love and gratitude are the highest vibrations. And even when you're feeling low and feeling like you're not being heard, I know that it can be a struggle to like yes. move into that place of, I am so happy and so grateful for, and pick anything, anything. Some days for me, it's like, I am so happy and grateful for good coffee. I am so happy and grateful for my amazing bed. I am so happy, you know, whatever it is. And I think, you know, I think I'm just saying this to the audience at large that, you know, if you're in a place in your life where it's really, it doesn't feel like there's much to be grateful for, pause, take a breath, and just feel into that. Like there has to be one thing that you can be grateful for. And it starts there. And I, interestingly enough, I did this yesterday. I was just like, I was thanking somebody for something. And I was like, before I knew it, I was thanking this person for like five things. I'm like, and I was like, oh wow, I have so many things to be thankful for. It's even just, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. It was like really a great time. And when refreshing, you can move yeah. your vibration into one of gratitude, you get more things come into your experience. How do we remind people to do that? Because it's, I'm saying it now because I'm in a great mood today. But
I have a really great story to tell you about this. First of all, I do want to say that I advocate for two very important things, if you will, organizations. One is Morgan's Mission and one is Richard's Legacy Foundation. Both of those foundations are for, one is my cousin, Richard was my cousin, and Morgan was a young lady known to a family here in Fort Saskatchewan, close to Edmonton. I've gotten to know them over the years. I advocate for them because they are organizations built on the idea of bringing that faith and that positivity and hope to people who are in a very low place. We talk about suicide prevention. My cousin died by suicide. Their daughter was only 13 years old when she took her life. She's being severely cyberbullied. And so we end up with a society where we have all these youngsters, and I'm not going to say just young people. We're talking, I've talked to my aunt whose son was Richard, my cousin, and she said, There are people she knows as young as 4 years old who have taken their life. Four. So, you know, what are we, you know, when you think about that, what is this child, what is the environment around the child or the elderly person to be pushed to that point? I remember when I was teaching, and I'll give you an example of how I realized I could shine that light for a person. I started to work at a college here in Edmonton that generally the people that attend this college have had maybe a very scarred or rough upbringing. And I had one student in particular who would come to the class. He was usually intoxicated or out of it kind of thing. He would be disruptive. And I had at first felt, you know, like a bit of fear because I didn't know if he was going to go off and the other students, which were, you know, like looking a little fearful too. They're like, can you get him out of here? Cause we're a little scared. And it was fear. Then it was empathy, not sympathy, but empathy. And I called him out of the room one day. And at first when we were in a private conference room, he was saying, you know, all kinds of mean, hateful things that he could say to me, like to try to trip me up. And when he finished, I said to him, are you finished? Are you done saying what you need to say? And he said, yeah. You know, just like really, you know, aggressive. And I said, okay, so now it's my turn. I want you to know that I think that you're very smart. I think you know exactly what you're doing. And I think you self-sabotage. You have the gift to be able to be an incredible artist. I've seen you even doodling. That could be worked with, because I was teaching social media web marketing. I said, you could promote your art to a company or work with an art company where you can be super creative with this gift. And then this guy just sat there looking at me like, oh my gosh, like this woman is crazy, but her ideas are, those are great ideas. I said, the thing is, you have to think outside the box, but you've boxed yourself in with this numbing sensation of, you know, a substance abuse, and it does numb you. I mean, in some cases for some people, and I'm not going to say that, you know, people shouldn't be doing that. And for some people, they need it. You know, like there's, you know, people suffering cancer. They really need these, you know, I guess, medications, medicated ways of just, you know, not being in the pain in that moment. So this is totally different than what I'm talking about. This man deliberately wanted to numb himself because of the things, the traumas that he had in his past. And it was this very thing, that very experience with him, he turned his whole life around. He messaged me through LinkedIn after I stopped teaching at the college and I was starting to go more into the metaphysical and really learning about my gifts. So that I'm like, man, if I could help that one person, I can help a whole bunch of people like this. And then I thought back to junior high, to a time I spent with a friend who I felt, there's that clairsentience, something was off with him that day. And he was kind of like wandering through the halls of the high school. And I said, what's wrong? I followed him out the door of the school. We went to the rec center attached to the high school. I said, we're going to sit and we're going to talk. We talked the entire day till 9 p.m. I missed my bus. I lived in Beaumont at the time. I was in school in Edmonton. My parents were freaking out. No cell phones at the time, right? Yeah. This is the 80s. And we talked till 9 p.m. He messaged me about a year ago. He found me on Facebook. And he said, I just wanted to thank you because now I have a beautiful wife and two daughters. And if I did what I was going to do that day, which was take his own life, I would never have had this experience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, when things like that happen for me, it's not about money at all. It's about truly being there for someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it comes back to you. So, you know, going to, you know, the whole point of like, you know, this mindset of, you know, lack of mindset and that sort of thing. I think that you need to have to align yourself with maybe someone else's experiences that are even worse than what you've experienced in order for you to have the true perspective of, you know what, my life really isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to be grateful for because that person's having it really rough. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you talk to these people, they start to realize the person, you know, around them or maybe their abuser or whatever it is may have also had it really rough. Mm-hmm. They start to open their mind to compassion. And that's when forgiveness happens. And that's when we build a community, you know, of like-minded souls, because we're listening and giving that time to those people. And it's not about being on the clock. It's about literally listening to them, just having a normal conversation. I can't tell you how many times that I've done a reading with a client and we'll go an extra hour, no charge. And we just talk. Yeah. We just talk about, like, you know, what is your view on this? What is your view on that? Like, I might need help in this area. And, you know, I'll give little tips and tricks and things like that where it's just free advice. Like, it doesn't hurt to do that, you know, because I know that that person may be able to give someone else in their life that advice too.
Yeah.
And so on and so on. It's like the Head and Shoulders shampoo commercial back in the 70s or 80s. They'll tell two friends, they'll tell two friends and so on and so on. And it does. That's how love works. Mm-hmm. It's really not about secluding yourself, feeling like, you know, like, and this happens, people get through depression and they get really afraid because they have so much taken from them. Remember this, Creator takes from you what you no longer need for a reason. It's almost like the cluttered closet that you keep jamming stuff in, purchases that you've made that you never use. And then one day you just say, you know what? I need to clear out that closet. All of a sudden, someone gives you a new pair of beautiful shoes, right? Yeah. And it's like, all of a sudden, these abundant things that are meant to fill that closet or your spiritual self start to come to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we declutter the mind and declutter the headspace or the space that we're in, that's when we can fill it up with something beautiful. And that's when it happens, the magic.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Now, just in wrapping up, I haven't even gone through all of my questions, but that's okay.
Part two to go.
Exactly. If somebody was interested in beginning this journey, because it can be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, it felt very much like trial and error. It's still very much like, let me try this. Okay, does that work? Okay. Yeah, yes, it does. Great. You go in the toolbox. And then the inevitable challenge that comes is you've got a lot of tools in your toolbox. And I would find myself like really trying to use all these tools at any given moment in time before I realize like, oh, no, it's like any job, right? Like you're not going to use all the tools in every job. And I'm not saying this is my job. I just mean like if there's something that I'm trying to navigate through, there's no need to use every single resource in my box to navigate it. The tools are being shown or, you know, they present themselves in your life so that you will start to rely on your intuition and your gut to figure out like which tool you're supposed to use in what scenario. So getting back to my question, if somebody is like, I want to learn more or I want to dive in more, where would you tell them to begin?
I would first do a consultation. That's always paramount and ethical, to understand their background, where their mindset is. If indeed I am the one to help them, or if it needs to go to another level like psychology or, you know, psychiatry, something like that. I think that's very important to identify right off the bat. Is this a spiritual experience or is it a mental health experience? So that's the starting point for me. But if it's an, you know, they're genuinely wanting to get into this spiritual experience of the journey, and let's keep that key word, the journey. James always says, "There's always joy." JOYRUNEY. Like he always spells journey and says about joy in the journey, and so patience is the first piece of advice that I'm going to say, because I'll tell you this, you're going to work through some yucky stuff.
Yeah.
You've got maybe a past that has so many traumas, some that you may not even have remembered that will pop up.
Yeah.
And so you work through that because you have relationships with people. You could be married, you could have kids, you know, have a wonderful relationship with your children and family, and maybe afraid that if you go on this journey, you're all of a sudden going to become someone totally different. The reality is, yes, you are. And that's the whole point. You want to become better than you were the day before. You want to be healthier than you were the day before. And that is, you know, in essence, how we also show other people that it's safe to go on that journey. And it's okay to do that. It's okay that every day is not a good day and to have a bad day. It's okay to have that. It's okay to cry. It's okay to laugh. Just this morning, Charisse, it is so funny. I mean, I've been having a little bit of a Mercury retrograde, all these retrograde planets week. And I was just feeling a little bit like, okay, went through a few bumps and scrapes this week, but I still got through it. My sister sends me this hilarious video. I'm in bed. It's 8 a.m. And I'm normally on a Sunday, I just want to sleep till like as long as I can, because that's my one day. And I find myself waking up my neighbors upstairs because I'm laughing so hard at this video that's only like 15 seconds. And I'm like, why is this ridiculous thing? Why is it? Then I remembered, it's the joy. It's the joy. It could be found in this, you know, like just your sister sending you a funny TikTok video. It's the connections that we have with the people. It's not boxing yourself in. It's allowing yourself to be open to laugh. And some people can be so far deep in their depression that laughter doesn't exist for a very long time. But just remember this, that somewhere along the way in that journey where you're feeling depressed, down, and you don't have, I guess, something to grasp onto. Someone will always show up. It could be somebody on the street corner needing 15 cents so they can buy that coffee, that you give them a dollar instead of the 15 cents. It could be, you know, it could be anything like that. It could be just giving, you know, if you were in a space of joy, why would you not want to share that with others? You're not depleting yourself. You're empowering yourself. Because when you see someone else smiling because you gave them that moment of laughter or whatever it is, what they needed in that moment, you know, a good talk or just, you know, shooting the breeze, whatever it is, they're going to go home and go, you know what? I felt so empowered by that. I feel like I want to do this with others. Again, that's how you pass it on. And that's how you come get out of the space of, you know, the depression or feeling like I can't do this and stepping into what you're truly, your soul's truly meant to be here for, is to experience, understand love, unconditional love, share it, and, you know, uplift your community, your planet, and move on. Our soul moves on to the next level. Mm-hmm. And that may be in another realm. I mean, that's a whole other topic, but there are many realms. And even in the Bible, it says, my father's house has many mansions.
Yeah.
We're talking about universes, different planets, different spaces, star systems. You hear people talk about star seeds all the time. Mm-hmm. Explore. That's the funnest part about like starting your spiritual journey, is exploring what you're attracted to. Yes, Therese, I totally understand. Like when you have all these tools, you're like, I want to try them all at once. And then all of a sudden you burn out and you procrastinate.
Go. You put them all away. You put away all the toys.
And you start with one, you know, and you just go from there. For me, my start was when my mom died. And I'm going to get emotional. I just wanted to connect with her again.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it for me. And I got that. I got that from James.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful for that community to get me to that space where I can have that true connection with a loved one. And, you know, family is important to me. My community is important to me. The people I love and encourage and work with are valuable beyond measure, because they too are also helping me and teaching me as I'm teaching them. You know, it's like a give and take. So
yeah,
there you go. There's your answer for that. Wow. But don't be afraid to explore whatever you feel in the moment. And don't be afraid to put all those tools away if you're overwhelmed too. That's okay.
Well, I think the biggest tool that you eventually recognize, I think this is what I've learned anyways, the biggest tool is me. Yeah. You know, all the other things, the tarot and pendulums and crystals and all of that stuff, they're great.
Yeah.
But your biggest tool is yourself. And I think that for me anyways, I think that was, I'll never forget. I was traveling and I had like a suitcase. I don't want to say a suitcase full of things, but I definitely had some stuff, like some tools in my bag. And when the bag was lost by the airline, never to be seen again.
I remember this.
Yes. And I remember just being like, so now when things like that happen,
yeah,
I'm just like, okay, so you don't want me to have these right now. There's something that I'm supposed to learn within this. And I think that's that's exactly what I was supposed to learn, is that you're trying to do too many things with too many things and you're confusing yourself. So let's just keep it real simple. And I literally had nothing.
So I want to add to that. My sons and daughter, their father had a heart attack and he had died for 12 minutes. You know the story. It's on my website. If anyone wants to go and read it, it's in my blog. They had told us that he was not going to live. He was probably going to be on life support the rest of his life, you know, vegetable, all those things. And I rallied with a whole community of people, to Reiki healers, people just wanted to pray. And I said to my kids, when they were going down the third week of his coma with his ex, who they weren't quite divorced yet, she was of the opinion that, you know, let's take him off life support. Let's not put him through this anymore kind of thing. He wouldn't want this. And my kids were just so adamant, like me, like, no, we need to just, that he needs time. I kept saying, he needs time. And when halfway there, I said, they phoned me from Red Deer, because again, big hug. And I said, he's going to wake up when you get there. They phoned me from Red Deer and they were, you know, like kind of, Mom, like, yes, we don't want you to get all freaked out or anything, but Dad just woke up and he's responding and this and that, like they were telling me all this. And I had given my son my mother's rosary. Okay. It's made of pearl and it was from her grandmother. Beautiful rosary. He was wearing it the entire time his dad was in a coma and he would pray on that like you wouldn't believe. And he was wearing it on the way down there. When he got there and saw his dad, he had said, his father says, this is proof that when people are in a coma, they can actually hear and see you. He told the kids, you know, thank your mom. I saw her praying for me. And he went in to go and lean and give his dad a hug, but the rosary caught on the edge of the bed of the hospital and broke it. And he was so upset. He comes home and, oh my gosh, you know, talking about, you know, losing your suitcase and all of those tools. Yeah. He comes home with like, I broke the family heirloom, you know, I'm cursed or whatever. I said, no. It just means that it did its job for you.
Yeah.
It gave you your wish. It's like, you don't have to worry about it. This can be fixed, son.
Yeah.
He was looking for the pearl that went flying off you under the bed. And I was just laughing so hard because I said, you know, son, these are just things.
Yes.
They're only tools. The real thing is you, like being there for your dad and having that faith.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said it did its job. So if you lose a crystal, you break a pen, you know, a pendant or bracelet busts and the beads go over, don't panic. It just means it's done its work with you. It's time to get something new.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ms. Candace, for joining me today. And I feel like you'll be back again because, like I said, we have barely scratched the surface of all that I wanted to talk about, but that's okay.
I'd love to do a live mediumship with you.
Oh, would you? Oh, I would be so open to that.
That would be very cool. Or you could invite a guest on and we could do it with them or.
Oh, I would love that. Okay.
That would be fun.
Let's do it. Okay. So now we've actually put it on a podcast. We're going to do a live mediumship. Oh, that would be cool.
Around Halloween would be a great time to do it.
I think that would be very. Yeah.
And Christmas is always good too. Yeah. Because, you know, you're bringing heaven home for the holidays. People really miss their loved ones. As soon as that November time hits, it's like, oh, damn it. I'm thinking of Christmas. And I'm like, oh, I lost my dad or my mom or my sister, whoever. Yeah. And I, you know, it's my first Christmas without them.
Yeah.
That would be a really good one.
Well, let's do it then. You and I will talk more about that. But thank you for everything, for being with me on this journey, for all that you've taught me, for sharing your story today on the podcast. And I just have nothing but love and gratitude for you. So thank you.
Same goes for you, sweetie. You've been awesome. You have also have taught me things along the way. One of those things is patience. I get that lack of it from my mother, but you have taught me patience. And I think I've taught you that a few times too, if I remember, but it always is something that we're teaching each other, whether I'm the one instructing you, it doesn't matter. Even the student surpasses the master at some point. You know, they have that gift and they're like, oh, wait, I can teach you this. And you have. So I appreciate that, first of all. And thank you for having me on. This was fun, wonderful. I can't wait to do it again.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, hon.
Thank you again for joining me and Candace today as we chatted about her journey an evolution as a healer, psychic, and medium. If you are enjoying the content that I'm bringing you every 2 weeks, please continue to listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And as always, if you have any questions or suggestions for content, please feel free to reach out to me at Sherisse@yourcollective.ca. That's Sherisse at yourcollective.ca. Without further ado, please take care of yourselves. Until next time.